Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Our top story today is Commanders OTAs. Typically, we do 5 o'clock, not my beat, top story. We're going to hit that at 5:30 with John Keim from ESPN. It was great to hang out with Cakes today out in Ashburn. And he said he'd come on the show, just couldn't do 5 o'clock. So we're going to switcheroo-ski here and do what was kind of our top story yesterday in terms of the way the news broke. Tom Thibodeau was fired. We talked about it and kind of talked about some of the bigger structural forces at play in the league and why someone like Tibbs is both one of the best coaches in the league, but also you understand why he got fired. And luckily for us, someone else has been thinking about these things too. And so with that, we bring in Colin Sauhau, who writes for Front Office Sports and actually wrote an article in April with a different theory about why, at the time, coaches like Taylor Jenkins in Memphis and Mike Malone in Denver were getting the boot. So, Colin, first of all, hello and thank you for your time. Welcome to the show.
Of course. Glad to know someone else is thinking about the same things as me.
Yes, yes, indeed. It just took me an extra 2 months to get there and one extra coach getting fired. So for background for the audience, Colin, you write about business, sports business things, and a lot of basketball, but sports business at Front Office Sports. Why do you think that the business side of the NBA might be intersecting with some of the basketball and specifically coaching decisions?
I think it's always been intersecting. I think anyone who's a fan knows that what we don't know, but what we kind of sort of see is that owners are dictating the way that our teams operate. And but when owners dictate things, the general managers have to, you know, abide by those things. And now it just so happens that in the NBA, there's aprons that came out in the salary cap structure in the 2023 CBA that are really making it a lot more difficult to make moves. So I think that generally, you have to be able to look at all those different factors when you're talking about building your roster that ultimately is what we all cheer for and want when we want our teams to win.
So when you look at a team, let's say, like, let's go with the two that you wrote about back in April. Let's say you're looking at the Grizzlies, you're looking at the Nuggets. Can you flesh that out for people? Why would they're a second apron team make you want to say, fire Mike Malone?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with this. The Nuggets are the prime example of a team that's been worried about the salary cap and these aprons for years, right after they won a championship, right? They win a title, and the first thing they do is not bring back Bruce Brown, not pay him. And then a year later, they don't bring back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and they rely on, you know, Christian Brown, who played, you know, very, very well this year, but it's kind of cut their depth down. And if you really look into the weeds, it's because they were trying to make sure that their money, you know, was not going to exceed certain aprons, or they could be more flexible as it went forward. Now, you can make the case that that this is something that teams have been doing for years, and not just now. But if you go earlier in the season, GMs answered a GM survey. We were all about these surveys now, as we know, with the Tyrese Halliburton being overrated type survey. And the GMs answered a survey, and their biggest concern was these aprons and how it's affecting roster construction and roster flexibility. And you see it in the moves. So when the Nuggets did that, they, kind of trimmed down their roster, and you see the effects. They had the best player in the league and still weren't able to win a championship, make it past the second round for 2 years in a row. What else can they do except fire their coach and hopefully go a different direction? And I think that a lot of teams are kind of looking at it that way. Not to say, again, that that's not been done before, but I think you can't argue that there's an effect from these second aprons.
Colin Sowa with us from Front Office Sports here on The Hoffman Show. So the thing I talked about yesterday with Thibodeau, Colin, which is kind of where the rubber meets the road on all of this, is he just got them on the verge of the NBA Finals. If they don't blow game one, who knows? We might be talking about a game seven, maybe even the Knicks win it in six. Like, we don't know. Game one was not only enormous in terms of there's only six or seven of them in a series, and that's a large percentage if you lose one, but the demoralization that happened to New York, and that game swung on a couple of plays, including a goaltend that wasn't called in the Knicks' favor. Right. So, like, the margins are very, very slim, but if you listen to some of the reporting around a coach like Tibbs, there's also a lot of problems. So, like, when these owners make these decisions, they're like, oh, the coach that we have isn't good enough to get this roster to where we want to go, and they decide to blame the coach, not the roster. And a guy like Tom Thibodeau, who's widely considered one of the better coaches in the league, even with his flaws, isn't good enough. Are there enough good coaches to go around?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I tweeted it yesterday after the news. I was like, to a certain extent, you can make the case as to why you would let go of someone like Tom Thibodeau, who, he's never really like as much as good as he's been. Like, you could say that maybe he caps your team. He has a ceiling, something like that. But who's out there? There's always this argument with all-star snubs. Like, if you're a snub, who are you taking out of the all-star game? I'll say the same thing with this. Who is coming in? Some people have said Michael Malone, but he kind of coaches the same way as Tibbs. So I kind of just come from a standpoint of, I just really agree with you because, we really don't know, and you have to look for a replacement. That being said, we didn't know who Mark Daigneault was before he came onto the Thunder, and you have to give him a lot of credit for who they what the team that they've become. Steve Kerr joined the Warriors and turned them into that team. So we might not just be privy to some of these things and be reactive to what's happened now. But I just think that the Knicks haven't really shown that they've been good at choosing certain things like this. So it's hard to trust that.
Right. If you're a team like New York and you're like, oh, we're so close, we need an established veteran coach. It's like, you mean someone who's been fired? Because yeah. You're either haven't coached yet or you've already coached before. And that typically only ends one way. So, like, if you're thinking about the way NBA teams should move here, Colin, would you just continue to take flyers? Not flyers. That's too short. That assumes that you're just guessing, right? These are very, very smart people in front offices around the league. And right. They have wide networks of people that they know. They watch other teams. They understand who is helping who in terms of player development, or maybe that guy's got a great reputation for drawing up plays, scheme, whatever. So it's not flyers, but ultimately you don't know until they're in the chair. Would you just be taken to then use the word flyers on young guys? Would you be targeting specific organizations, be like, oh, we just get the next guy on the Thunder bench? Like, how would you be approaching it if we understand how hard it is based off the roster mechanics and that that you need to have a really good coach to win in this league?
I think that based on the roster of the Knicks, you have to get the veteran that's out there, because you already know that these Villanova boys on the Knicks and Cat, these are veterans that want a proven commodity on the team. I think, I mentioned Mark Daigneault, but he came into a Thunder team that didn't have established players, with all due respect to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the time. So he still had time to earn their respect. Whereas if you have a veteran team, one that clearly respects Tom Thibodeau, clearly has a good relationship with him. If you're removing him from the roster, I think all you can do is look for a coach that has championship pedigree, like a Michael Malone, that can come in and maybe change something. But I think to your point as well, you know, we've seen teams do this in recent years. Look at the Phoenix Suns and what's happened to them. You know, firing coaches year after year, coaches with veteran experience, with championship rings, and it still doesn't work out. So you can't promise it. And I'm as baffled as you about it, but you know, that's the league we're in.
So as we wrap with Colin Sowow here on the Hoffman Show, we get back to the structure at play here, the system at play. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there is growing frustration within the NBA about these aprons. Like, nobody likes it. Maybe the owners do, and if the owners do, then, like, good luck. But ultimately, I think a lot of teams, and you referenced in your article, Wick Grosbeck of the Celtics saying, he is, like, I'll pay the tax bill. We can't do basketball stuff. This is bad. Do you think that ultimately they will reverse course the next time the CBA comes up to try to undo this because it seems to be doing more harm than good? Or is it accomplishing exactly what the NBA wants, where there are no super teams that can be built? You're always one injury seemingly away, like the Celtics, from having to blow up a really good team. And we're theoretically going to, you know, get even more parity when we've already now secured seven champions in 7 years. Is this actually working the way the NBA wants, both in that it's doing what it set out to and it's good for the league?
Yeah, I think that when they come to the table and discuss this, I think the owners and the GMs and the executives are going to be the ones to be like, we need to make change. Because it's difficult. Like you said, Wick Grosbeck has talked about it themselves. And I think they're starting to realize just how impactful this is. Now, from Adam Silver's perspective, from the league's perspective, they like parity. That was the whole point of doing this. They were so, you know, shocked at how, like, players and teams were mad at what happened in 2016 with KD going to Golden State, that they needed to find a way to not build super teams. And that's where we are now. And we kind of are in this cycle of, hey, it worked, but did it work too much? There's too much parity? So I think there's going to be a world where some teams and owners complain. And in fact, you know, the teams that are kind of being faced with this are all teams, you know, the Celtics or the Nuggets and the Grizzlies. So again, it achieved that parity, but I think it's getting to a point where it might be like, well, we are stuck. So I see a world where they're going to push back. I definitely see a world. But if you're the NBA, it did what you wanted. I can also see them being like, hey, we're fine with this. I think ultimately what happens is there are going to be tweaks. There might be changes to some of these penalties that come with it, like losing certain draft picks or not being able to compile salaries and trades for second apron teams. But I think you'll see some of these penalties stay, maybe not framed in the same way as like a first or a second apron.
Interesting. That's definitely going to be something to watch because I think the NBA is at its best when there can be dynasties, when there can be teams that you root for over a long period of time. You establish rivalries. I mean, no one would have put the Cavs and Warriors as a great NBA rivalry, but it's the one that defined mm-hmm. the 2010s. And if you're eliminating the possibility for that to happen, I actually don't think that's a good thing for the league, even if you're getting more parity. So TBD yeah. on that one. Colin Sowow, writing for Front Office Sports. Colin, this was great. Appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course, anytime.
That's Colin Sowow, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. John Keim in about a little more than 15 minutes at 5:30. I want to talk more about what Colin and I just talked about next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Thanks again to Colin Sowow for joining us here on The Hoffman Show. Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. I said it like Odyssey, like it had a T in it, Anthony. I don't know. I think I just say it so often. I'm like, I gotta mix it up a little bit, add a little variety. I heard it's the spice of life.
Remix?
Something like that. John Keim coming up at 5:30 here to talk Commanders OTAs. And Anthony, before we do that, following up on what we talked about with Colin, you posed an interesting question pre-show, which is kind of the premise in some ways, in a twisted way, of Colin's article, which is NBA head coach just the worst job in sports? Because I gave you this pop quiz. I'll give it to the audience now, although unlike you, the audience is not going to be able to respond directly. So audience, speak to your car radios or your YouTube screens or however your phone. It's listening anyway. Who are the three most tenured coaches in the NBA right now? First one's easy, now that Pop is retired and moved in the front office. That is, Anthony?
Eric Spoelstra.
Right. That one you got. Everyone should get that. Spo's been in charge of the Heat for 20 years at this point. Could be another 20. Like, dude's incredible. One of the best 15 coaches ever. When the NBA did their NBA 75. They did 75 players, 15 coaches. He was on the list, deserved to be. Awesome. The second longest tenure coach also makes sense because he took over in, I believe it was 2013, 2014, might have been 12, 13, in replacing Mark Jackson as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, and that's Steve Kerr. The third one, it would have taken me a while to get had I not seen this posted. And you got the guy who was fourth. It was a good guess, but Ty Lue took over the Clippers 10 games in to the season, where Billy Donovan had started the Bulls' job from go, 2020, 2021, I believe, was the season. And, the answer is Billy Donovan is the third most tenured coach in the league. He's been on the job less than 5 years. This 25-26 will be his... Well, actually, 20, 21, 21, 22, 22, 23, 23, 24, 24, 25. Yeah, it'll be his sixth season on the job. And he's the third longest guy in the league. Then you have Ty Lue after that, and I don't even know who's next. But you have guys like Michael Malone, who have won championships, or has won a championship. He also got fired in Sacramento after they had, like, 2 years prior, one of their best years that they ever had. You have Tibbs, who's had the best season. Let's see. He's had the best Bulls season since 2010. The best Wolves season, I believe, until the last two. So, at least they fired, they have replaced him with someone else who has taken it to the next level, which does seem relevant. And then the best Knicks season since 1999. Best Bulls season since 99, too, by the way. Since Jordan retired, was the Derrick Rose. Was he the head coach? Yeah, he was the head coach for those teams. So, long story short, like, you can be pretty good at this and also not good enough. And I think when you start to get into the why, a lot of it is just like NBA owners seem to want to blame people and or are the executives bad at hiring? That's my other question. I mean, this is something where I actually give the Wizards credit over the years. Like, when they hired Scott Brooks, no one was like, oh, man, this guy's one of the best coaches. But, like, Scott Brooks is a good coach. Brooks in Oklahoma City took them to an NBA Finals. How bad can you really be? And, like, also, I think this is the other thing. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, let's put three guys on a scale of 1 to 10. Two that are failures that have not won NBA championships. And one that has won a singular NBA championship. The three names are Scott Brooks, Tom Thibodeau, and Doc Rivers. Scale of 1 to 10. How good of an NBA coach is Doc Rivers?
He's overrated in my eyes.
I agree. I think he's like an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
How good's Tom Thibodeau?
I have him in the same area.
I think he's also an 8 out of 10. How good is Scottie Brooks?
I have him in the same area.
I think he's probably like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I'd probably put him third, but it ain't that, the gap's not that different. How good's Michael Malone?
Same.
Like 8.5 out of 10 for me. I think he's better than all of them, but not by that much. Like, there's a bunch of guys that are good coaches. Like, 8 out of 10's good. I'm not saying these guys are 4 out of 10. Right? I mean, shoot, like, guys like Randy Whitman back in the day. What, is he a 7? Is he a 6? Like, he's not a 3. So the coaches like the Wizards have had, they've had okay coaches. They've had fine coaches. They've even had, if you want to say, if 7 out of 10 is good, they've had good coaches. Right? But they haven't necessarily had the roster, or they haven't made the right moves, or they've had bad injury luck. So there's blame to go around. But who would ultimately get axed? The coach would get axed. Because in the order of operations, and this is now being more general, not to the Wizards. The owner goes to the GM, and the GM has two options. The GM, who is directly typically hired by the owner and then hires the coach, can either go, I did a bad job with the roster, or he didn't coach it up well enough. If you're the GM, what are you going to do? You're going to say, we think that we can get more out of this roster, and give me another offseason. I'll make another trade. Like, we'll get a better roster too. Maybe sometimes a GM will go, you know, hey, he did a really good job. This move that we thought didn't work out the way, but like, we know what we're doing. We know where we went wrong. We'll run it back. And it depends, because sometimes that's not going to be an option if you want to save your job, because the owner's going to be like, oh, you're the one that messed up? Great. Somebody's getting fired and now it's you. And so, like, I do kind of think in a way that's different than... I don't feel like that happens as much in the NFL. I feel like guys, I mean, but I guess it still does. GMs typically have longer leashes. Like, typically GMs get, owners get unlimited GMs because they own the team. GMs get two coaches, typically. If you mess up the first hire, you get to try again. And if you mess up a second hire, at that point, you've probably been bad enough and you've messed up two coaching hires that you're probably getting fired. And then the question is the coach also getting fired, or are they, and you're out together, or do they go, no, we got a good coach, we just need a better roster, let's go to the GM, and then do that GM and coach get along, and then you get into like this cycle of terror. If in the NFL, add quarterback to that equation, and that explains like the entire Chicago Bears history. So yeah, like, it's a rough gig, man. Now, you're well paid, you're well compensated. There's a lot of good things about being an NBA head coach, but the head job is really hard. You can be pretty good at it, but winning an NBA title, as we've talked about, I think is the hardest thing in sports. Nevertheless, winning multiples. And so you're just going to not satisfy what ownership is looking for a lot. And that's going to eventually cost you your job probably 3 to 4 years at a time. It's just not common that you get, hey, we got this build that we're working on. Sweet. I mean, shoot, Brett Brown was a great assistant in San Antonio, gets the Philly job under the premise that, like, hey, dude, like, you're going to help us build this thing up, and we think you're the man, and so you're going to stick with us through the hard times to be there for the good times. And then after, like, 1 year of good times, they're like, see ya! Brutal. Brutal.
It is definitely cruel. I mean, we've seen coaches go to the NBA Finals and still get axed.
I mean, there's a literal Coach of the Year curse.
Yeah.
It was like Dwayne Casey, 2 years later, fired. Monty Williams, 2 years later, fired. Tom Thibodeau, 4 years later, fired. Mike Malone, Frank Vogel. Like,
these guys are champion fired.
Yeah. Vogel's gotten screwed multiple places. But then, like, eventually, 2 years later, when they're going through the interview process after a year of doing analyst work for ESPN or TNT or now, you know, whoever, or going on an assistant bench, you know what happens? Owners and GMs interview a bunch of people, and they're like, hey, you want to know who's really good? Frank Vogel. Which is why, like, these, like, a guy like Malone, a guy like Thibodeau, get 4 or 5 jobs sometimes. Like, that's not unheard of in the NBA. Or Rick Carlisle circles all the way back to Indy. It's his 4th head coaching job. Detroit, Indy 1, Dallas, Indy 2. It's his 4th job with 3 franchises. He's been one of the best coaches in the league the whole time. 1 title. Because it's hard. Because it's hard. We're not taking calls right now. We're taking 1 call. I was about to say we're taking calls on this. We're not. John Keim probably has thoughts on it. Because John Keim's a huge NBA fan. So I might ask John Keim about this. But then we're going to talk about the Commanders next on The Hoffman Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, Every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's Off Pitch Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Typically, 5 o'clock is when we do Not My Beat, but sometimes we got to move schedules around. Today, we moved the schedule around, and so it's 5:30, but it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
John Keim was in Ashburn for Commanders OTAs because, well, it's his beat and has been for 30 years. And I know that because I was there. You're just very reliably there, John. When we come up with the intro of, like, from someone who's there, we know you're going to be there.
I kind of blend in with the woodwork at this point. By the way, I got you to move it from 5 because I'm kind of a diva.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me see if I can get him to move it to 5:30.
It's just a bit. That's all.
There you go.
You've been doing bits in the room for 30 years, and you're like, let's see if we can extend one of these bits outside of the room. I get it. It's fine. Go. Hey, it worked. We had a great conversation about hoops at 5 o'clock. By the way, I did. You're a great person to ask this hypothetical question to, because you are a huge basketball fan, and you have been covering the NFL for 30 years. Is head basketball coach in the NBA not actually the worst job in sports? Because, like, you clean janitors in arena. Like, that's right. Probably not a great time after games. But hey, hard day's work, respect. But, like, of the high profile jobs, is head coach in the NBA the worst one? Because I think that you have, like, the third longest tenured coach in the NBA, John, is Billy Donovan in Chicago. And I just feel like in the NFL, there's a little bit more job security, but am I just reacting to maybe Tom Thibodeau getting fired here?
I'm definitely of that mindset, too, that it, for sure, because a couple of things, like, I think NBA players have more power because the contracts they have. And so I think if there is an issue, they're probably more prone to go try and take care of it, right? They have more power to take care of it than I think almost all football players do outside of a couple guys. So I think it's also hard. Like, they're with the players for really, like, if you're really good, you're with them for 10 months or 9 months. Like, that message, unless you're winning, I can see it getting stale, or maybe the personalities become a bigger issue. I think in football, there's more of a buffer between the head coach and the players. And, like, guy like Dan Quinn is very interactive with the players, but not every coach is like that. So, like, you might get tired of the message a little bit, but your position coach is really where it's at. So I just think and then it's like it's a shorter season, so it's a little bit different. I definitely think the NBA coach is like, Thibodeau gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're bouncing them after 4 years. Like, they progressed to this point. You know, and maybe everybody thinks because it worked for the Bulls with Doug Collins, then replaced by Phil Jackson, that anybody can do it, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I think winning a championship in the NBA is the hardest thing in sports.
Yeah.
I think it's harder than winning a Super Bowl. I think it's harder than anything else because, like, it's the number of guys that can help you get there is so small. But, all right, back to the day job, John. I'm going to try to not do the thing that we all do, which is lament the questions that we get asked when we go to, say, an OTA session. And it's like, I can't believe that I have to go on show X and then I get asked this question Y. And then we all do either our own show or, in your case, your own podcast. And we realize that those are the best questions to ask. So we just ask the same one. So I'm going to try to ask you some different stuff based off of what we've seen. We'll see if I can accomplish it. Last year, the Commanders' attendance was really high. It was basically 100% for all the voluntary work. It is year two of this regime. We are seeing not just the three big names that we saw last week, but we've seen guys like Eddie Goldman hasn't been there. Javon Kinlaw wasn't there today. Michael Gallup wasn't there today. Why do you think that is? Is that a year two thing? Is that a more veteran roster thing? Like, what substance is on, do we think is actually on the bone here to why this is the case this particular year?
Well, first of all, if Gallup was there, he just, I think he was dealing with something. And I think the same is true of Kinlaw. So that's not a.
Okay. So we got more info post practice that they were in the building, just not on the field. Got it.
Yeah. And I don't know if Kinlaw, but I know that there's like, you know, just very, something like apparently very, very minor. So it's not a big deal, but like that's, so it wasn't a, I'm skipping it kind of thing.
Got it.
But it is, you know, most of the guys you mentioned, they're all new. I mean, for whatever reason, like they're all the newcomers except for Terry McLaurin. And it, obviously in his case, it's contract. Tunsil, this is what he did in Houston. Lattimore, this is what he did the last years in New Orleans. And you can make the case that, you know, based on what happened here, that it might be wise for him to be here. Still voluntary. It's been what he's done. I think one of the saving graces for this group is, I mean, listen, man, I've been here when they've had 100% attendance and they didn't play very well. So it doesn't always correlate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we get to September, and if Lattimore picks off a pass and returns it for a pick six, I don't think the first question after the game is like, do you think you could have had two pick sixes if you were here in May? You know what I mean? So, but I think because there's so many questions about him, and I don't think, Craig, I don't think those questions would have been answered this spring regardless. Like, we need to know, can he stay healthy? You don't know what level will he play at. Those are all things we'll find out in the fall. He just has to report here in shape. But one of the saving graces is, one, this group has been together for a year now. Like, they know Terry McLaurin very well. They know what he's going to do. They know he knows the offense, et cetera. So I think, like, you know, Quinn is very good at communicating with players, guys who aren't here. He's very good with that. So I think all of that helps. You know, I will say, though, like, there was a big deal made out of 100% attendance. So it is, like, you note it when they're not here, but you also know it's voluntary. And as long as they have number five, a couple guys can miss, and they'll be okay.
John,
but I do think, like, it'd be, I do think, Craig, like, you know, for just stretching it out further, like, a guy like Tunsil, you know what he's going to do. And the hard part for the line is, what you really want to see is how you have to learn the guy next to you, right? Like, so he's going to have to learn Brandon Coleman. And the only way you're going to really do that is when you're in pads, as far as like how you handle situations in the field, right? And then I think for Lattimore, again, the thing for him would be like, yeah, you know, it would have been nice to be here after, you know, injuries and some struggles, but, you know, voluntary, so he's not.
Totally. John Keim, ESPN.com, and ESPN with us here on the Hoffman Show. And that's the thing is, if they can get to, like, ultimately you're trying to get to 100%, right? Like 100% of knowing each other. And if you can do that in training camp, then who cares? If you were to get to 100% by the fourth day of training camp, if you had been here in the spring and it takes you till the 14th day, the date that matters is in September. And so, yes, optimal versus like a problem, I think, are two very different things here. I also do think it's like, it's also not nothing, I think, when coaches try to right. kind of push it to the side, because like Bobby Wagner's still here. Like, if Bobby Wagner's here, Bobby Wagner's still here, then why isn't anyone else here? I go back and forth on it, on I think how important it is. Well, and I've been doing this for a decade now. You've been doing it for more than a decade. So where do you land on it?
Well, I think it's always important, because I would have a hard time knowing, like, hey, you know, 89 of my teammates are there and I'm not. Like, yeah. I would feel funny about that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So I think there's that. But then there's the other part where I felt like the genesis, the seeds of the success last year were definitely planted in the spring. And it wasn't because, like, oh, they're learning the offense. It goes way deeper than that. Like, that was as close a team as you're going to be that I have ever covered. And why is it? Well, you start to bond during this time. And I thought they were really good at doing things that fostered those bonds, or guys got to know one another in a different way. Like, guys would hang out after practice and just get to know each other because they wanted to be there. Like, that's when you really started to see it. That's some of those are like the – it's not just the on-field work. And then, like, you watch a scene after practice, and I talk about this on a podcast, but, like, you have Mike Sammerstill and Debo Samuel working against one another after practice. You can see some of that, certainly, in training camp. Like, it's not the only time you can get that. But as the season gets closer, you don't it's harder to get some of that stuff because guys, they got to get off the field because they may have to go get treatment. They may have to go do this. They may have to go do that. You know, you have a meeting, so you can't linger out there as long sometimes. This is when you can do all that stuff. And like, as they talk about, now this is good for guys like a Tyler Owens or Will Harris, like the experimentation aspect. This is when they want to see, okay, what can you do? Now with Tunsil, he blocks people. That's what you know he does, right? You know what I mean? Like Lattimore, right. You got to cover people. And again, if he was here, it'd be nice, but maybe you'd feel differently if like he's going up against Terry, for example, and like, oh my gosh, he looks really good. But Terry's not here. So, you know, you're not going to go up against that caliber of, and Debo is a different type of receiver, right? He's not necessarily the kind of guy that Lattimore will cover. But the point is, like, are there things that could be done? Yes. Are there other things that we wouldn't have learned if he had been here? We still wouldn't know durability and where's his game really at, because you want to see it against the A.J. Browns, the Mike Evans, guys like that.
John Keim, of course, you also check out the John Keim Report podcast wherever you get your pods with us here on The Hoffman Show. Will Harris is a guy that I'm pretty fascinated with, John, because I liked what I saw on tape. He is lining up all over the place, which is what I would have expected. And I am trying to remind myself how good Jeremy Chinn was at very important things that you are just not going to see this time of year because they're not in pads. Like, what's the drop-off, but also what are the potential additions that you think are capable on that back end with Will Harris based off of what you saw on tape and, like, kind of thought going into the spring and now that we've seen him a couple times out there on the field?
So with Will Harris, first of all, I felt like when I watched him, like, and it's funny, there are three guys that I really felt like this about. Like, that's a Dan Quinn-type player. And the three were Will Harris, Jonathan Jones, and Dietrich Wise. You know, and now, that's not to say the others, but, like, those three, to me, jumped out as far as, like, these are the kind of guys that he really, you know, fancies, right? Because the toughness, all that. Go back and watch Will Harris against this team when they were down there in December, and he laid out some guys. Like, he plays tough. The difference between he and Chin's bigger. He's got about 15 pounds, something like that. So you could use him as a big nickel more in the box, you know, against run, et cetera. But I think there's more versatility with Will Harris in coverage. And I think that's one thing I asked Quinn about afterwards is about getting guys like Harris and Amos, how does that open up what you can do coverage-wise? You know, because I do think it lends more versatility to the coverage teams. The way you can, because like Jeremy to me really progressed. I felt like he started somewhat slow. You would see signs of the physical play, and then you'd see it, and then but he slowly kept putting it together, and made himself valuable. But I think the way you're going to have to try and replace him is, do you have some linebacker types who can fill that role? Can you play with a Jordan McGee and feel good out there as a third linebacker in lieu of a big safety? And how does that, like, if you're going up against a big personnel package, they might have to use Jeremy Chinn in the past in the box. Well, now maybe you can use Jordan McGee. So now maybe does that help the run defense a little bit more? If he can do that, Kane Medrano, can he fill a big nickel role where you don't have to use three safeties, maybe use two safeties and a hybrid linebacker safety type in Medrano, right? Like that he's a perfect description of that big nickel because he can run, you know, he's got athleticism and he's got the size of, like, he's like about 220, 225, something like that. So, like, can you replace him that way? Now, it's asking a lot for, I just mentioned two guys who had, you know, McGee was hurt last year, Medrano was a rookie. Can they do that? You know, can Tyler Owens help in that role? So I think there's ways, I think you have some internal possibilities to replace him, but I think the coverage versatility will be enhanced.
I agree. Dominic Hampton, another name to watch, obviously converted from safety down to linebacker. They had a laughing with Logan today. because there was a one rep of the, I think it was 7-on-7. It might have been the, when they were in 11s, where Medrano and Hampton were the two linebackers. And I was like, ah, yes, the safety who is converted to linebacker and the linebacker who might convert to safety out there together. Yeah. So we'll see how all those guys get used. A layer up in the defense. That was kind of the talk of the press conferences today with the D-line. Joe Witt speaking, as well as Dan Quinn. Everyone will hear what they had to say coming up in our pick six at six in about 12 minutes from now. But there was the talk kind of at Ashburn today, but also the talk like on these airwaves as your colleague Seth Walder, as part of a larger piece that some of your ESPN colleagues did, proposed a Trey Hendrickson trade for Washington that would see them give up Johnny Newton in a third round pick to get Hendrickson back. So when you think about this D-line, John, how comfortable are you with where they're at now? And what were, like, to you, the most important things said by either Joe or Dan today about where the pressure could come from and kind of the strength of that D-line?
One, I don't see that trade.
So I don't either, but that's we don't need to waste our time on it. I already did that earlier in the show. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right, okay. Yeah, thank you. So with the D-line, like, what the one thing I saw, you could see this when they were signing these guys, because I remember talking to somebody at that time about it too, is the versatility of this group. One, they're bigger, so I think, like, if you want to stop the run, get a little bit bigger. And I think they have, like, last year, like, John Allen was playing in the 280s, low, you know, 285-ish maybe, which it's good for a three-tech, right? But if you're taking on those double teams, trying to stop the run, like, you have, and Johnny Newton smiling like that, right? Like, you, they needed some bigger guys. That's not a knock on them. It's just that that's what you could use. So Kinlaw, Goldman, you've got some size in there. Dietrich Wise is a defensive end. He's just a sturdy, sturdy guy. I mean, he's a big dude, right? So I think, like, that's one of the things. But then it's, I also think that there's some versatility with that group. Can you, so many people, like the focus on the pass rush, they didn't lose Myles Garrett, for goodness sake. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, like, as Joe Witt said, nobody at this time last year thought Dante Fowler was going to get 10.5 sacks. Now, he maybe ended up having to play too much because of some depth issues or whatever. I think they're better there. But they're, their pressure packages last year were pretty good. The issue with the defense was stopping the run. And then there was, like, certainly some coverage issues and some blown coverage things and, you know, the whole St. Juice and all that stuff. They're better in those areas. I strongly believe that. Even if Lattimore struggles, I think with Amos and Jonathan Jones, another year of Samardzija, they are better. Those three alone make them better than what they were at the start of last year. So, and then you add, then if Lattimore plays well. But I think with the defensive line, then Deron Payne, like, that's the number one thing that he was the number one topic today. And Joe Witt talking about how he and Quan Martin had this laser focus. And I think there's just a, there's a strong belief, I think, in what Deron Payne can do this year. But I think that size and there's the versatility. Dietrich Wise can rush inside. Dietrich Wise is a pro. And by that, I mean, like, he knows how to handle his business. He's learned along the way. I think that's it, you know, learned how do you defend the run? Like, I had him on the podcast last week and talked about that. Like, just how do you learn, how have you grown? It's like, it's learning to play the run. Like, the knowledge he can impart to other young players, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, even Kinlaw, who's still, you know, I don't think he is, has he hit, he certainly hasn't hit his, I don't know that he hit his ceiling yet, right? Because I think he's still an evolving guy. And so I think, like, just how, you know, how to read blocks, how to, where to get your hands, et cetera, like all that stuff that he knows how to do, that can you impart that? Not, I don't know that we're going to look at this and say, like, wow, this is an awesome defensive line, but it should be better. And I mean, it has to be better, because if it's not, there are going to be problems. But I do think it will be better.
This is
how much better, I don't know.
Yeah. This is hope season. We're hearing all this guy's never looked better. This guy's super focused. You've covered Deron Payne's entire career. You've now covered this coaching staff for a year. How much do you believe the for lack of a better word, hype we're hearing about Deron Payne?
I don't know, because until they get pads on, who the heck knows, right? Like, I think with the offensive line, with running backs, until they get pads on, you know, I mean, Craig, right now, like, I would say me, but I'm a little bit older than you. You could probably go out there and look good as a running back, running some routes. Well, maybe, you know, within reason. But
hey, hand me the ball. I will score a touchdown. If you are running back this time of year, you score a touchdown in every play. It's the best.
Yeah. So with Deron, I think let's see it. Okay, let's see it. But I do think, it's a big year for him because we saw what he responded pretty well with his contract the last time. If he doesn't play well this year, they can get out of his contract. If he plays well, then maybe you extend him, right? And so, this is a good year, big year for him. But I also, we'll see. But I think it's still there for him. I think the one in particular that I really intrigued by is Newton, because you saw flashes and you saw later in the year in the playoffs, all that, he was definitely flashing. And they talked about him, getting stronger with his leg and all that. That can be a big thing for him. And I think having some other big bodies around him can free him up to maybe not have to take on certain things against the run. And I don't know, they're not going to use it as just a situational pass rusher, but you can rotate more and not have a drop-off and keep guys like that fresher for later in the game. That could help him too. But no, you're right. This is – listen, man, if your team isn't sounding pretty good right now, there's trouble. But I think because of what they did last year, we know that there's a base of whether it's trust or belief. And that's plausible, right?
Yeah, for sure. Do you if I ask you, John, what's the, in hindsight, most laughable positive spin you've heard this time of year in your career? Is it one particular thing that comes to mind of this player who wound up getting cut in training camp or something like that? Does that come to mind?
There was a guy running back years and years and years ago, named Norman Miller, and it was under North Turner, and he looked good in the spring. Talked about what they did, and I don't think he did not make the roster. It's funny because, several years later, Anthony Armstrong comes along and it's he's turning up in the spring, but okay. And then he goes and makes the roster and catches 40-some passes that year. Really good job. So you have to pay attention. Then the other one, this was more in training camp, was when Larry Johnson played here. And, it looked good. And this is why, with running backs, you just don't know, right? And he looked good in training camp. They're not taking him down. And, Larry looks good. And then he goes and averages, he was averaging about what I was getting in college for my GPA, which was not 3 yards in a cloud of dust either, but there we go.
If you're a 4.0 student, that's still not a great running back, so we don't need to go exact numbers, John, but we get the point.
Yes, there you go. But there is it is hard, and James Thrash has always used to be got to get him the ball more. Got to get him the ball more. Look, he's making these plays. And then you get in the season, and it's the same thing. And then you go to the next spring and summer, same thing. Got to get him the ball, and then he doesn't. There are guys that jump out at times, right? And I don't know. So you have to pay attention to it, but you've got to try and keep it in perspective. And then it's who are they making those plays against? Too. What are they trying to accomplish?
Definitely talked about that.
It's fun.
It's good to be out there. It's good to see everybody. It's good to rib people and have some fun on the sidelines as we watch practice. And I think Logan put it really well today. He and I were chatting on the sideline, and he just goes, "This is really important for them. It's not that important for us." And yet, we talked for 20 minutes because that's what.
But you know what? Because you get to you. What I like, Craig, is little glimpses. So you can pick up things, and as long as you put it in the proper context, with Trey Amos, you can pick up things that he does well. And then it's this is what we see in the spring. How does this translate? So, you know what I'm saying? And there are little clues with other guys. Jaden, to me, just looks crisp and sharp. And I have seen other quarterbacks come through here in 7-7 work who would tuck and run all the time. You don't see that with him. You didn't see it last year. You don't even see it at all this year, right? So, those are good things, but, you still have to see it in pads. But you can pick up little things about what you like about a guy.
It's a test to pass.
Correct. It's the spring. It's Right. Like if you're a semester in college, like we're taking some early, you know, first couple week quizzes right now. That's it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then we get, you know, later, and that's perhaps where the GPA met Larry Johnson's yards per carry.
Well, the GPA, the problem with that was, first of all, I was there for football and I'm not to play it. But the other, like, there were classes though that were like, come on, like, you know, I did well in the classes I needed to. And I did all right. It wasn't horrible, hey, but I knew
John,
what I needed.
How many times in the last 30 years of you working, covering an NFL football team, has someone asked you for your GPA?
Not just now. This is it.
Yeah, I didn't even ask. You brought it up on your own.
Because I wanted to make a joke. That's all. I'm just playing for the laughs here, Craig.
Yeah, that's really what this show's about. We're just here for some kicks, giggles, and an occasional insight. John Keim, check out the John Keim Report. There's lots of insights there. And, of course, read his work at ESPN.com. John, always a pleasure, sir. Great to see you today. And I'll see you for minicamp in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig. See
you. Got it. That's John Keim with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, you'll hear directly from the participants. Joe Witt Jr., Dan Quinn speaking today. Your pick 6 at 6 is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.